even as I was preparing for this Father's Day message. And again, we're not bound by this. I didn't have to preach or teach on Father's Day, but I felt like the Lord would have me to do that because fathers need it. They need encouragement today. But even as I was preparing and everything, I even felt the guilt come on me saying, you know, you could have done a better job. You know, there's no perfect dads anywhere, isn't there, right? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I thought so often, you know, and I had to fight that. I had to fight the guilt, the condemnation, the thinking that I did not do as good a job as I should have done. But nevertheless, we have to remember that none of us are perfect and the kids aren't perfect either. Isn't that right? Amen. And so I want to encourage you today that, you know, if you're already, you know, your kids are grown or whatever, and you feel like sometimes maybe you didn't do as good a job that you could have done or whatever, you know what? It doesn't do any good to go to the past because the past can't be changed, but you can change the present. Isn't that right? You can do something different now and that kind of thing. And so I want to take this time to just encourage you and minister to you today. And so today's message is dads make all the difference. They make all the difference in the world. We live in a world where there is this mindset that kids don't really need their dads anymore. We live in a world where people that are not saved, people that are worldly, they try to, not everybody, but they try to communicate this idea that all they really need is their mothers. You know, they don't really need a dad is kind of, you know, off to the side and whatever. And I think that many times that's because dads have been off to the side. They have been, absentee fathers, whether they were absent physically or absent emotionally or whatever the case may be. And that has been a detriment to our society. I want to just share with you some things about how important fathers are, not only to the individual family, but to society, and therefore to the nation. And one reason, I would submit, big reason why the world is in the shape it is, why our nation is in the shape that it's in, is because of the lack of fathers being the kind of fathers they're supposed to be. Now, this is not, again, to bring any condemnation. This is to encourage us. It's to help us realize how important that we are if we're fathers. And there's going to be something in this for everybody. So don't think, well, I'm not a father. I'm a mother, or I'm a woman, or I'm a single person, or whatever the case. There's going to be something in here for everybody if you'll listen. Because it's not just about what you can glean for yourself, but also how about being prepared and equipped to help other people maybe. Amen? Maybe you'll be able to help other people, encourage other people. If you're not a father, you'll maybe have some things, some tools, some equipping in order to maybe encourage somebody else that is struggling in their fatherhood. And so dads make all the difference in the world. Notice some of these statistics, if you don't mind, on this infographic. Poverty. Fatherless families are 44% more likely to raise children living in poverty. And that means four times more likely to be raised in poverty. Four times for fatherless children, they are four times more apt to be raised in poverty. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are fatherless. What a large number that is. 90% of homeless and runaway children are fatherless. The father is not either in the home, maybe he died, whatever the case may be, he left them, whatever it is. 90% of all homes are homeless ones, and runaway children come from fatherless homes. How about substance abuse? Substance abuse, drug and alcohol abuse is greater among fatherless children, 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substances, those that don't have a father in the home. 71% of all adolescent substance abusers come from a fatherless home. What a high statistic here. 71% of all adolescent substance abusers come from a fatherless home. And again, what I'm trying to do is to show you how important it is to have fathers in the home. Amen? How important it really is. How about this physical and emotional health? 80%, I know you can't read it all that well, but 80% of adolescents in psychiatric hospitals come from fatherless homes. 80% of adolescents in psychiatric hospitals come from fatherless homes, two times more likely to commit suicide. Physical and emotional health going on there on the right-hand side. Fatherless children experience more accidents and a higher rate of chronic asthma, headaches, and speech defects. How about educational achievement? Fatherless children are more likely to score lower than the norm in reading and math. Nine times more likely to drop out of school. Less likely to obtain academic and professional qualification in adulthood. Again, I'm trying to emphasize how important it is to have a father in the home. And let me just say this, that you might feel like you're a terrible father, but let me tell you something. Even if you're a terrible father, if you're there, your presence is a help to your kids, as long as you're not abusive in any way. Isn't that right? Is everybody hearing me here today? How about sexual activity and teen pregnancy? 9 times more likely to be raped or sexually abused in a home without a biological father. And so 9 times greater is a young woman or young girl apt to be raped or sexually abused if the father, the biological father, is not in the home. 70% of teen pregnancies happen in fatherless homes. How many of you know this makes it real clear that fathers are needed? Godly fathers. Fathers with biblical values. Not perfect fathers. If we waited to be perfect, we'd never be a father. But again, fathers that are following God, fathers that are wanting to serve the Lord and live a life that exemplifies the heavenly Father God. Amen? And then how about crime? 70% of adolescents in juvenile correctional facilities come from fatherless homes. 11 times more likely to have violent behavior, those that come from fatherless homes. 60% of rapists were raised in fatherless homes. 20 times more likely to be incarcerated are those that come from a home without a father. In fact, years ago I read a statistic that it was somewhere 90-some-odd% of all men in prison claim to hate their father. Claim to hate their father. And so again, you can see the importance of fathers who serve the Lord first, that want to do that which is right according to God, and raise their children in the way in which God have us. Again, I don't want to project the idea of perfection, but nevertheless, how many of you know that God is our helper? Because when we come up short, He is willing and able to help us in whatever way we need in order to be great parents, whether it's fathers or mothers. Amen? Aren't you glad that we have an advantage, those of us that know Christ? We have an advantage over those that do not know Christ. We have an advantage because He is our helper to help us, to have wisdom in order to get through whatever we need to get through, in order to know what to do, what to say to our children. Now notice this also, this graph. You'll notice over on the left-hand side, 72% of the children that have both parents going to church with them as they're raised are attending church and have their faith firm in the things of Jesus Christ. In other words, the idea that both mother and father go to church with their children helps those kids to continue on being faithful to God and being faithful to the church. As opposed to, now notice this now, when only dads attend church, 55% of children remain faithful to God, but notice how it plummets if only the mother attends church, 15% of the children continue to live for God and attend church. Now think about that. That's not to diminish the importance of a mother, but it does show you that the father is more the influencer in terms of leading than the mother is when it comes to the things of God. Does that make sense to you? And so the sad thing about that is that in so many churches, and it may even be the case here, I don't know, as I'm looking around, I don't know, but most churches have more women than they do men. And a lot of women are married, they have Christian, they are Christian, their husbands are not, or whatever the case may be, but yet we see that fathers are falling short in so many ways. And yet that can be changed if we make up our mind. But notice, this is an amazing statistic, that 15%, if only the mother goes to church, the children will follow, but at 55% if the father goes. What a great difference that really is. And then if neither parent attends, 6% of children may end up in church and serving the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And so again, dads, I want you to know that God is your helper. And as you continue on, don't think that, you know, sometimes the enemy comes in there and tries to get us under condemnation, get us think, you know what, you failed so many times, you might as well give up. That's a lie. That's a lie. Amen? We've all messed up. We've all failed. We've all come up short. That just shows we need Jesus more and more. Isn't that right? Notice what James Dobson said. He's a great author and a minister, really, a psychiatrist, Christian psychologist. He's got many good books out there about kids and families. He said, "While I don't minimize the vital role played by a mother, I believe a successful family begins with her husband. And that's the way God intended. God did say the husband is the head of the home, not the dictator of the home, but he's to be the leader. The leader in loving, the leader in caring, the leader in providing. Sometimes men have this idea, well, I'm the head of the home, and they become like a tyrant or a dictator or something like that. That's not what God had in mind. God had in mind that you be a leader in the home by leading in loving, leading in caring, and nourishing and nurturing children as well as your spouse. I mean, that's what God intended. Are you following what I'm saying to you today? Tom Lane, who wrote this book many years ago, A Father's Influence, he wrote this: a father's influence determines a child's view of God more than a whole semester of in-depth study full of Bible truths. And so a father's influence determines a child's view of God. And this goes with this next author who said this: a child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard similar statements, the idea that many people struggle with having a relationship with the Heavenly Father because they struggled with a relationship with their natural father. And so again, as natural fathers, those of us that are our grandfathers, we need to always keep in mind that their relationship with God depends in many ways, on how we are before them as well. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, you can turn there if you'd like to. It's up on the screen for those that may not have brought a Bible with them, but I hope that you did. In Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4, if you're there, say yes. Five of you are. Notice Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. I'm going to pause there for a moment. This is a quote, by the way, from Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16, where this command still carried over into the New Testament. First of all, that children are supposed to obey their parents in the Lord. In other words, only in regard to how much the parents reflect the Lord. In other words, you know, parents, if they are asking children to do things that are ungodly or whatever, of course they wouldn't want to follow them if they're following the Lord faithfully. Isn't that right? And so it says, in the Lord, for this is right. Notice, honor your father and mother. And I'm going to just say this. It doesn't matter if you're like me, 63 years old, I'm still to honor my mother and father. My father's in heaven, my mother's alive. It doesn't matter whether we're out of the house or not, we're to show honor to our mother and our father. Would you agree with that today? Even if they don't deserve it in your mind, right? Even if they don't deserve it. But notice now, here's the promise, that it may be well with you and you may live on the earth, live long on the earth. And so, you know, obviously, you know, I would say to my kids, listen, if you don't honor your mother and father, if you don't honor your mother and me, you're going to die. It said that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Of course, they knew I was kidding with them, all right? They knew I was kidding with them. But you know, there is a truth to this, honoring our mother and father, isn't there? There is this promise that it's going to be well with us. It's not just going to be that we're going to live long on the earth. You can live long on the earth and it not be well with you. Isn't that right? But the promise was that it might be well with you and you'll live long on the earth as we honor our mother and our father. And then it goes and it gives a command to the fathers. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Notice now, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. I like the way the Amplified says that particular verse, verse 4. Fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and admonition of the Lord. So I got thinking about, well, how do we cause our children to be frustrated and irritated and that kind of thing, provoking them to anger? One way we do that, if we're not careful, is by expecting more out of them than they're able to give. Sometimes parents expect too much. Sometimes fathers expect too much. Isn't that right? And so by expecting too much and by being critical, you know, people rise to the level of praise. And our kids, they need praise more than they need criticism. I'm talking about destructive criticism, don't they? Are you following what I'm saying to you? And so they rise to the, you know, again, that expectation. You know, they want to please. They want to rise to that expectancy of something better or something good. It's so vital in that, that we don't do that. You know, I read a story. I read a story, actually it was a story in that same book, The Influence of a Father by Tom Lane, and he wrote about this story that another pastor had told about a boy just 8 years of age that was being counseled by this other pastor. He was counseling this man. He wasn't a boy anymore, but he was a man, a grown man, and he struggled with inferiority. He struggled with the lack of confidence and all of that. And after many sessions of counseling, the man finally shared how that when he was 8 years old, he went out into the garage as his father was repairing the family car. And the father was under the car, and he asked the 8-year-old son to hand him a crescent wrench. Well, that little 8-year-old son didn't know what a crescent wrench was, and so he just grabbed a random tool off of the bench and gave it to his father. And his father saw it was not a crescent wrench and threw the wrench across the room and called him stupid and said, if you don't know what you're doing, then get out of here, get out of my garage and go into the house and help your mother where you belong. And you know, that young boy, 8 years of age, that was damaging to him for the rest of his life until God intervened through the help of this pastor for him to be set free from that. Is everybody with me here today? Even those kinds of actions affect our children. Now, a godly man, even if he did lose his temper at some point in time, would go to that child and say, son, I'm sorry. Daughter, I'm sorry. I apologize. I was foolish. I lost my temper. Will you forgive me? And you know, kids are usually real fast to forgive, aren't they? Are you getting anything out of this today? All right, in the few minutes that I have, a great dad loves his children's mother. I'm just going to give these to you fairly quickly. I apologize, but I think they'll be helpful to you. A great dad loves his children's mother, and they can feel when there's that love atmosphere within the home, can't they? It says in Ephesians 5:28 and 29, so husbands ought to also love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Now, let me just say, you know, maybe you're separated, maybe you're divorced, your wife, let's say, is not with you or whatever, but you know, you still got children together. And I think it's important that you treat your ex-wife like you love her anyway. Because if you're a believer, you ought to love her anyway. Love her with the love of Christ. Isn't that right? And not talking bad about her. And this goes both ways, wives. If you're separated or divorced from your husband, it goes both ways. If you have mutual children, you don't want to talk bad about those spouses or ex-spouses in front of those children, because those kids, they love both parents equally, don't they, generally speaking? Is everybody doing all right here today? And so it says, as we go on, a great dad loves his mother's children. A great dad doesn't expect his children to be perfect. Notice what Proverbs 12:15 says out of the CEV. It says, all children are foolish, but firm correction will make them change. Now, people often ask the question, well, do you believe in spanking? Well, you know, the Bible does advocate times when spanking might be permissible. But, you know, I'll tell you, every child is different. Every child is different. And one thing's for sure, we don't want to do any kind of physical punishment that is abusive or leaves welts or anything like that. And so, you know, these things I think that we need to take to heart and be careful. You know, I know the world's all against spanking, but, you know, I see some kids out there sometimes, not here, but I see some kids out there in the world sometimes, and I think, man, that kid needs a pretty good spanking, I think, you know. I mean, you know, just a little encouragement, you know, all right? But, some of us, we grew up, forget about spanking, man. There was the belt. You understand what I'm saying? I remember one time, me and my brothers, you know, I had two brothers younger than me. I don't remember what we did. My father was at work, and we did something to get my mother really mad. And she got out the belt, and we got under the blankets, and she's yelling, and she's hitting, and all that kind of thing. And we three boys are under the blankets laughing at her. Until finally she's yelling and doing that, hearing us laugh, and finally she stopped. She started laughing herself. She just, this is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous, you know. And so, but she didn't know any better either. And so anyway, Tom Lane also said this, a father's role is not that of resident potentate, which means like royalty, a king over others, to be served by a crew of servant children. Instead, a father must be a trainer, equipper, motivator, mentor, and coach. A father must have compassion, vision, patience, and a steadfast commitment to the process of preparing and molding his child's life with positive and corrective reinforcement. The next one, as we try to move along here, a great dad enjoys his children, right? How many of you think that dads ought to have some fun with their kids? Isn't that right? You saw that depicted on the video that we watched as well. It says in Psalm 127:3, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Kids are a gift. They're not a burden. And so I wrote this, children are given to us to enjoy, not to be a burden, not to avoid, not to ignore, but to enjoy. In order to enjoy them, you've got to be with them, have fun with them, share your life with them, give them memories of dad being fun to be around. And don't be discouraged if as they get older, they say, I don't remember that, because I get that all the time, don't we? They don't remember all the different fun things that we did. Vacations, they don't remember. I want to encourage you parents, and everything, you take lots of pictures. You need proof. You need proof. What's that? And develop them. Don't have all these, what do we got? 30, what is it? 30. We got rolls of film everywhere. We've got to get them developed so we have proof, because we got to have proof. A great dad listens to his children. James 1:19, understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. Be a good listener, because you know what? If you listen to them when they're young and they know that you won't criticize or judge them, then when they're older with more important issues, they're going to come to you and you'll be able to listen to them as well. You've gained their confidence. You've gained their trust in the fact that you're listening to them. Amen? Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. And I wrote this out too. I might have got it from somewhere. I don't recall. Give them your individual undivided attention, not with one eye on the TV and the other eye on them. When they have a problem, when they are worried, when they are sad, when they are lonely, they don't need cartoons or a video game or their best friend's dad. They need you. They need you. The next one, a great dad provides for his children, right? 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And then this last one is a great dad prays for God's help. Thank God we can pray for help, because we don't always know what to do. We don't know how to handle situations. And you know, when they're young, it seems like it's easier when they're young, but when they become teenagers, that's when I think I prayed more than before, because I needed wisdom. I needed wisdom as to what to do, because things were different then. It says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. And then this scripture, I quote it many times. If any of you lacks wisdom, dads, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally or abundantly and without reproach, and it'll be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. What a wonderful passage, because we need all the help we can get, don't we? Amen? And so just to close this, and this comes from somewhere, I don't know, but dads need God's help to lead by example. They need God's help to know how to counsel. They need God's help to act and to not lose their temper. Dads need God's help to be patient. Dads need God's help to train their children. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Do you believe that scripture? Amen? Amen. And then finally, this is from a book, You Can Have a Happy Family. I don't even know if it's around anymore. If a child lives, this is some great wisdom. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. Now we start into the positive aspects. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. And then if a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns judgment. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. And if a child lives with acceptance, he learns to find love in this world. And I thought those are some wise things. They'll be, if you didn't get them all, they'll be online next Saturday when the message is out there. But I just wanted to convey this to you. Dads do make a difference in this world. Dads make a difference in their families. We are important men to be what we need to be for God and to help our children be what they need to be. Amen? And so I want you to know that you've got a calling. You've got a calling. And that calling is something that God will enable us and empower us to fulfill. And even though my kids are grown, I still have a calling. They're still my children, and I still desire to help them in every way possible, amen? To bless, to help, to encourage, to counsel, to give wisdom to, even if they don't want it. Even if they don't want it, but they need it, amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? Let's all just be in an attitude of prayer, reverence real quickly here in a couple of minutes here that we have. We never want to end a service without giving this opportunity. The Bible says that everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glory. I've sinned, you've sinned. And because we've sinned, we deserve punishment, we deserve judgment. I deserve hell. I deserve the lake of fire, and so do each and every one of us. But the good news is, by the grace of God, He provided Jesus Christ. God became a man so that as the perfect, sinless Son of God, He would bear the judgment, the penalty that I deserved and you deserved, so that as we place our faith in what He has done for us, we can be forgiven and be in right standing with Almighty God. If you're here today and you're not sure that if you were to breathe your last breath, you could die today. I don't know if you realize that. But I see it all the time. Young people and old dying unexpectedly. You could die today. And according to the Bible, there's no second chance. There's no limbo. There's no purgatory. Those are all man-made ideas that have never been in the Bible. And so this is your chance in life today to be in right relationship with God. And if you were to die today, to be in His presence forevermore. And so if you're here today, after this, you'll never have an excuse for sure before God. Because the Bible says you need to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and believe with all your heart that God raised Him from the dead. He died for you so you could have eternal life. And so if you're here today and you're not absolutely sure that if you were to die right now that you'd be in the presence of God, you can be sure because it's not based on you earning it. You can't earn it. It's a gift from God. And so in case there may be one here today, you've never received Christ, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come up here. I just need you to raise your hand so we know. And we're all going to pray together and lead you and help you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Lest there be even one here today. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? All right, I don't see any hands today. Let's all pray this prayer as we often do. If you believe this, pray this with me. God in heaven, I thank You that Jesus died for me. The innocent one died for me who is guilty of sin. I thank You, Father God, that Your Word says that if I confess Jesus as my Lord with a heart that believes that He is risen from the dead, I shall be saved. And so I confess, Jesus is my Lord, and I believe He's risen with all of my heart. Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I turn from sin, and I turn to You. Take my life and make it what You will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.